Dear friends, this ceremony today marks the beginning of the Holy Week, the holiest of the weeks of the Christian tradition, the week that reminds us of our salvation and the prize that was paid for our salvation, for you and for me. It is easy. One of the easiest things I want to do is to point fingers at the people who killed Jesus. It is very easy to do that. They were the ones who killed Jesus. They were the ones who denied Jesus. They were the ones who did this. He was the one who condemned Jesus. But I think, dear friends, it is time to pause. If we have done nothing all of these 7 weeks of Lent, if we have done no fasting, no giving up of anything, it is time to pause and think, where am I in this drama? Where do I fall in all that has happened? How many of these characters describe me? Am I Simon, the leper, who welcomed Jesus into his house, but kept silent when others were being refused the same welcome of Jesus? When the woman poured oil onto the head of Jesus, he kept silent while others were disparaging the woman. How many times have I been silent when others have been prevented from coming to Jesus because we want to be the ones to say, this is how you must worship. This is how you must approach Jesus. When the master himself has not complained about the one who came to him in one form or the other. How many times have we been silent? Or are we the woman who courageously went into someone's house knowing that she was looking for salvation and found the one who could give her that salvation and courageously approached and worshipped the way, the only way she knew how, by anointing him? Are we that woman? Are we the chief priests and the scribes? How many times have we, out of selfishness, how many times have I, out of selfishness, decided to silence the voice of truth around me? Because that was the only reason why the chief priests and the scribes came after Jesus. Because what he was saying was hitting home against them and their selfishness and their thwarting of the religion of the day. How many times have I silenced the voice of truth around me just so no one sees and knows what I am doing? How many times have we done that, dear friends? As long as we do that, let us remember that we are hammering the nails into the hands and feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember that each time we do that, we are driving the thorns, the crown of thorns, deeper into the head of our Jesus. Are we the crowd who, just a few minutes ago, were shouting Hosanna in the highest, with all sincerity, with all goodwill? How many times have we come to worship? How many times have we approached? How many promises have we made to God? And just with the flip of a coin, at the turn of the tide, we immediately start shouting, crucify him. How many times have we flipped on our Lord Jesus Christ? Just because we want to be part of the crowd. Just because we want to be identified as one who goes with the flow. Just because we don't want anyone to say, oh, he or she is a hypocrite. And then we turn. And instead of continuing with Hosanna in the highest, we shout, crucify him. How many times have we shouted that in our lives just to be part of the moving crowd? Are we the disciples, dear friends, who, having stayed with this man for 3 years, knew and saw everything that he was doing and were warned, especially Peter, before the cock crows twice, you would deny me 3 times. What more could Jesus have done? What more could Jesus do for you and myself? How many times has he warned us about the sources of our temptation? Before you cross this road, you are going to utter that curse word that has been haunting you. Before you finish this journey, you are going to do this. Before you are done with this conversation, you are going to fall into this. How many times has Jesus warned us in our hearts? But we, like Peter, we take it for granted. How many times, like Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the disciples, have we fallen asleep instead of keeping watch with the Master? How many times have we not been vigilant? Watch with me just 1 hour so that you do not fall under the test. And yet, they could not. Yet, they were the ones who were closest to Jesus. How many times have we slacked on our jobs as disciples? Remember, the first reading says the Master wakes up the disciple every morning and gives us the ears to listen. Have we closed our ears and decided to be lukewarm Christians? Because if we are, then we are Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, Matthew, and the rest of them, all of the ones who slept on our Lord Jesus Christ when he needed them the most. How many times have we slacked in that manner and abandoned Jesus in our fellow human beings when they needed us, but instead we became lukewarm bystanders, sometimes not even saying a word, not pretending that we do not know what is going on with the people who are suffering. As long as we do that, dear friends, let us recognize that we are the disciples who abandoned their master by sleeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. Are we Pilate, the one who had it in his power to say, nothing will happen to this man, you will not touch this man because I have the authority? How many times have we handed over the innocent by word of mouth, by action, by tacit approval, to be disparaged, to be gossiped about, to be brought down, just because we want to identify and be popular with the people? Because that was the only reason why Pilate handed Jesus over. Yes, he did his best. We can say that. But his best just was not good enough, because he had one more thing working for him. He had the soldiers at his disposal. What are the things that God has blessed us with that we could use to prevent injustice from happening around us? How many times have we allowed that injustice to happen just so we are not disparaged for our own self-comfort? As long as we do that, we are Pilate, dear friends, because we will not see another Jesus but the ones who are in our families, sitting with us and working with us in our workplaces. Are we the soldiers who, seeing a man who was already down, he was already down? What sort of cowardice, what sort of brutality, what sort of animalistic tendency have we displayed to those who society has trodden down on, to those whom faith has already destroyed? How many times do we mock them, jeer at them, ignore them, pretend that they do not exist, and dehumanize them even more? Because as far as I'm concerned, these soldiers were as low as you could get. A defenseless man, already condemned to die, why do you spit at him? Why do you mock him? Why do you beat him with swords and clubs? Why do you ask him, prophesy for us? How many times have we done that to the people around us? How many times have we ignored the downtrodden, or even by word of mouth or action, made them feel even more downtrodden? The list can go on and on and on and on and on, my dear friends. What I'm trying to say is that it is not just these, our brothers and sisters, who crucified Jesus. It is the man you are staring at who is speaking right now. I am the one who crucified Jesus. You are the one who crucified Jesus. Because if the blood of Jesus shed some thousands of years ago can actively save us, then what we are doing today can retroactively go to say that Jesus will suffer once more. And that is why everything we do matters. But there are people we can borrow leaves from. There are people we can look at in this gospel and redo, especially this Holy Week. We go back inside and think about our lives. We can think about the women who had the courage to follow Jesus. They knew that at any time, these, I'm sorry to use the word, these animals who are the soldiers could turn on them. These animals who brutalized the master before them could simply turn on them and do things to them that are unspeakable. Yet, they followed. Can we have the courage of these women? Mary, the mother of Salome and Joseph. Mary Magdalene, and the other women who followed Jesus, even in the face of danger. Can we, like the centurion who oversaw the killing of our Lord Jesus Christ, but had the courage to confess when the deed was done? He had his own repentance. Truly, what I have done is evil. I think he was saying, this man that I have killed was the Son of God. He confessed his guilt. Can we do that, especially this Holy Week, dear friends? Can we, like our brother Peter, who we have mentioned, abandoned his Lord and Master, denied him three times, refused to listen to him, can we weep for our sins? Because when the cock crowed the third time, Peter wept bitterly. And that was why he got his redemption when Jesus resurrected from the dead. This drama is for each and every one of us. This drama begins a week of serious introspection, because we find ourselves in this gospel either as villains or as sons and daughters of God. May the peace of the Lord be with you.